Marvellous, marvellous. A few other things that are going on today at the Conversion Centre include a workshop at hopefully around about 3 o'clock on civil liberties. And then later on tonight, at 9 o'clock, if you want to get yourself down there, there'll be a film night. We'll be showing probably filthy radical films mostly, but I've heard rumours we're going to be showing Bambi.
Let's clarify that. When he says filthy radical films, this doesn't necessarily mean the hippie version of Deep Throat. When we say filthy in this context, that is strictly a reference to the strength of our radical beliefs. It is very, very unlikely that we will be showing any hardcore pornography. Not least because hardcore pornography is a bad thing. Hardcore pornography is a bad thing. You see, I get so excited just thinking about it that I can't even say it. But just in case there's any remaining doubts, that's going to be no hardcore pornography, or indeed softcore.
Will the J?
You were saying.
I was just wondering if the J8 ministers will be talking about the international trade in hardcore pornography at all over this week. Do you know?
I believe that they have got a special viewing of Deep Throat with the film that is currently circulating. There's a rather interesting documentary about the Deep Throat film which has been made, and Deep Throat has been shown for the first time legally in a British cinema just at the moment. But I think we have some very exciting news on a completely different and far more sensible topic, which is that we are getting a call through from Sarah Green from Amnesty International. Can you hear me there, Sarah?
No, not yet. No, she's not coming yet.
Okay. We're nearly having a call from Sarah Green from Amnesty International. We're going to be talking to her about people trafficking and about all sorts of things like that. And the reason we're talking about this is because that's one of the issues on the G8 agenda for these meetings at the moment.
Keep talking.
We have a slight technical delay going on. We're getting Sarah on the line. Let's say, can you just explain to people quickly what do we mean when we say people trafficking, Dan?
Well, that's the illegal trade in human beings. So it's things like trading in people from Europe who are coming here to feed Britain's sex trade. We have quite a lot of that going on in Sheffield, apparently. It's also things like people coming across to work in awful factories making sandwiches, or in the construction industry and things like that. Apparently there's thousands and thousands of people here.
Yeah, that's all very, very true. This is an enormous issue, and this is something which tends to be associated with the worst forms of exploitation. I remember reading very recently that a girl from Lithuania was managed to escape from some of her pimps in a club in Sheffield.
Hello.
So this is really a problem that is very close to home. We're ready to have Sarah on the line right about now. Can you hear me, Sarah?
I can.
Hi, Sarah. Would you like to talk to us quickly? Would you like to explain what people trafficking is and what Amnesty International thinks this is so important?
Yeah, I'd love to. Amnesty and actually a bunch of other organisations in Britain like UNICEF and Anti-Slavery, we've been campaigning together on this issue for quite some time now. Basically, there is a massive amount of people trafficking into Britain. This is when people are brought into Britain against their will and normally forced into some kind of labour. In particular, there is a massive problem with women and even girls, younger girls, being brought into Britain and forced into prostitution. And to be very clear about this is not just an issue in London. It's often thought that this is just about kind of sex shops in Soho. We understand, and research has shown, that there is an increasing problem with trafficking and forced prostitution all over the UK. What Amnesty and some other organisations that we're working with want the government to do is, in the first place, actually to get involved and sign up to a new European Convention Against Trafficking that exists. That would be a brilliant measure that would guarantee a lot of these victims of trafficking much more protection. In addition to that, the UK has a wonderful opportunity as it chairs the G8 meeting and as it assumes presidency of the EU at about the same time to really lead on this issue, to really set a brilliant example of how serious our government is and other governments should be about protecting victims of trafficking, and to, you know, actually change the law to make sure that they are protected properly.
Okay, is there any way that people listening to the show can get involved in this campaign against people trafficking?
Yes, you can. You can certainly go to Amnesty International's website, and there you'll find a letter which you can download and send to your MP. We're asking people to write to their MPs, asking them to make it known to the government that they support the European Convention Against Trafficking and they'd like Britain to sign up and just to do more on this issue. So Amnesty's website is worldwideweb.amnesty.org.uk.
Okay, and these people who are coming over here being trafficked, are they leaving their home countries willingly or are they being actually forced over?
It's kind of a mixture of experiences, and especially according to what kind of person it is. Normally people are either forced, and that means taken violently, kidnapped, and so on, or sometimes they're kind of tricked and deceived into going. Classically, what has been happening in, for example, in some Eastern European countries, is that women and younger girls are told, if you come with me to London, and I'll get you a job working in a hotel or working in a bar or whatever, you'll make some money, a lot more money than you'd ever make here, you can send it back to your family and come back home at some point in the future. What they will then find, and we have studied this and we know this has happened on hundreds and probably thousands of occasions because there's a good market in women for prostitution, what then happens to them is that they're smuggled across borders, their passports are taken from them. When they get to Britain, they find that they're held prisoner in brothels. They are not consenting prostitutes by any understanding of that term, and they are forced to work. They're told all kinds of stories by the traffickers. They often don't speak the language here, so that they are vulnerable to being told lots of stories. They're told that if you escape, you'll either be beaten and killed, or the authorities here will put you in prison or ship you back home, etc., etc. So they really are held prisoner in a way that is difficult, probably, for you and me to understand, because we're free citizens here. But people are being held prisoner and forced to work kind of on our high streets, on our doorsteps.
Okay, thanks, Sarah.
Could you
just maybe outline just the key measures in that convention you're asking the government to sign up to one more time?
Yeah, the European Convention Against Trafficking, which is a new convention, a really excellent piece of international law, and it's open for all European governments to sign, basically guarantees that there will be protection for victims. It means that if victims escape or are discovered in raids by the police, for example, they'll be immediately allowed access to some housing, to emergency medical care, and then after that they'll have a few weeks' time to think about what they want to do next. So without being immediately deported or without being forced into helping the police if they're too frightened, those are the things that can happen at the moment. At the moment, there's no protection in law, and victims of trafficking do face possible deportation or even being forced into helping the police. And you're talking about very vulnerable people who've been frightened and who've had their human rights horribly, horribly abused. As I said, though, to be very clear, we're coming up to the G8 meeting now, a massive global meeting. That European convention is open to European governments. At Amnesty, we hope it will have a trickle-down effect and it will actually set a new standard for how victims can be protected throughout the world. So it is of some relevance to other governments from different parts of the world. At the same time, we also think it's just a great opportunity for the UK to be taking a lead and to be showing that we're serious and this is how it should be done. And that's what we'd like to see.
Thanks very much, Sarah. That
Thank
sounds
you.
Like an absolutely enormously important cause, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've heard from Amnesty International about this people trafficking which is going on. Even, as I say, in our own city we have examples of this. So please do go to that website, www.amnesty.org.uk. Sign up to the letter. Let's see whether we can get our government to sign up to the European Convention, I should say, against people trafficking. And let's see whether we can get some movement on that. And I might go so far as to say, guys, that didn't sound like a particularly filthy radical position. That all sounded pretty goddamn sensible to me. Is it outside possible that some of this stuff, which some of these radicals are saying, is actually pretty reasonable, genuinely damn good idea type things?
I'm not entirely sure we should listen to them, really. But, I suppose some of it's all right.
Bits of it might be okay.
Yes.
Oh, we have a new guest in the studio. Let's just have a quick hello from Fabian here, who's come over from the Convergence space.
Yeah, hello. Welcome, everybody, to Radio New Media Sheffield. It's great to be here online on...
FM.
FM.
On the airwaves.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Exciting.
Okay, what else have we got coming up on the show? We've still got Steve Montgomery to come. He's going to be... He's not going to be. He actually is the... What is he, Dan? Is he the director of Liberty? I think he is.
He's what, sorry?
Steve Montgomery.
He's the development director.
The development director of Liberty. You see, what Dan had written there was and what he actually meant to write was development. So Steve Montgomery is the development director.
And we have
Liberty.
Him here, in fact, now.
Oh, excellent.
Keep talking.
Okay. So we're going to have Steve coming up from Liberty. Liberty is a campaigning organisation that works in this country to try to protect people's human rights, try to protect people's rights against the government, against the police, ensure, as I say, that people's liberty is protected from intrusions into privacy, from unfair detention, anything like that. Okay, Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastically, Steve, thanks. You're live on air to Sheffield at the moment. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what Liberty do?
Liberty is a human rights and civil liberties organization, so we work across a whole range of issues. But mainly what we're here to do is to protect people's rights and liberties, and that means, in most cases, situations where the state is exercising overweening power, where they're acting outside of what we might consider to be reasonable behavior.
Okay, Steve, you might know at the moment here in Sheffield we've got the G8 Justice and Internal Affairs Ministers coming and discussing some issues which I imagine are of some interest to you. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what they might be talking about and what you at Liberty think about that?
Well, I don't actually have anything to say about what the G8 Justice Ministers would have to say, and nor do I have to say anything really about what they'll say in or what the G8 will say itself whenever they meet in Scotland later on this year, or in a few weeks' time, in fact, because Liberty operates exclusively within the UK. But where we are very interested, where we do take an interest, is in protest itself. What's very important for us as an organisation is making sure that people are able to protest, that protest is protected, and that this government and other governments to come consider protest to be as valuable a part of any kind of democratic society as ticking a box once every 4 or 5 years and voting for a candidate who you don't really like.
Okay, so we had yesterday a protest. The police allowed 100 people to get near to the conference dinner of the of the G8 Justice and Internal Affairs Ministers. Do you think that that sort of restriction on the number of people allowed to protest is an infringement on civil liberties?
I think what I'd say about protest is that there's kind of two different approaches that you often see. One is from a lot of authorities, which will say, well, if people have the opportunity to shout a little bit, wave some placards, then that's our job done in a way. The protesters kind of, you know, protesters are allowed to do a little bit of that, and that's kind of okay and sorted. And then there's another view, which is our view, which is the protest, because it's a very important part of our society, has to be enabled, or let me put it another way, has to take place in a place and time to make it effective. So, for example, you saw, I'm not sure if you saw last year, whenever George Bush came to visit, there was a lot of talk about allowing large-scale protests, but outside of London. And this isn't on. It's not good enough to allow people to protest far away from where the people who their protest is aimed at are. You have to allow protesters to be able to convey what they want to say. Protest, to be real protest is what I'm saying, has to actually have an impact on the people who your protesters are targeting. So again, I mean, if you're going to talk about the G8, the big meeting in a few weeks' time up in Scotland, we would be very keen there, it's very important for us that the protesters are actually seen by the G8 ministers when they arrive, that protest isn't able to take place close enough to when the decisions are being made, so the people can actually have the people who are making the decisions, the G8 ministers, are actually able to really feel and hear public opinion. That's really important. That's what protests are all about. It's not about the actual display itself. It's about but it's also about its impact on broader society.
So would you say that at the moment in this country we haven't really got the balance between the right and the importance of protest and the need to have security for visiting dignitaries, ministers, whoever, that balance isn't right at the moment.
I think, on the one hand, there's kind of a long history of protest. I mean, Liberty was set up in the 1930s when the hunger marches came down from the north of England to protest in Trafalgar Square. So we've been interested in this since our inception. And I think there are many times when protest has had a real impact in this country. And there are many times you only have to think of the Stop the War when it hasn't had a real impact. And, you have 2 million people marching through the centre of London and still, and it doesn't really seem to have the kind of impact that those people want. Let me give you another example of something that we're really concerned about, where I would say that the government is going too far and where we don't have the balance right, is just recently the Home Secretary has declared a kind of a half-mile exclusion zone on noisy protests around Westminster, and that's a half-a-mile exclusion zone that radiates out from Parliament Square. Now, if you remember what I was saying about how for protests to be real protest, it has to be close to where the power is, close to where the people who are making those decisions actually are. The idea that you can ban noisy protests outside of the Houses of Parliament, outside of the House of Commons and the House of Lords, where our elected representatives are, is frankly ridiculous. And that's where we've absolutely, where this government's absolutely got the balance wrong in a way. And our suspicion as to why the Home Secretary has declared this exclusion zone outside, for a half mile radius outside of Parliament Square, is because of the anti-war protester Brian Hall, who's been there for I think nearly 4 years, and a lot of MPs think his protest is an eyesore. A lot of MPs are annoyed that he's too noisy, and we suspect that. In part, the reason that this new law has been brought in is to deal with one protester and one long-standing protest. And protest is noisy. Protest is, not necessarily easy on the eye. Protest is awkward. Protest is, protest is, because it is people expressing their opinions, is sometimes something that MPs don't want to hear. But that's tough because it's protest.
Okay, thanks very much, Steve. That's something that's, of course, very relevant to us in Sheffield at the moment. And thanks for joining us from Liberty.
No problem.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.